Hey guys, pray with me, please. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the privilege of getting to live a story that you wrote for me, God. Please use it, even just to give people a taste of the comfort that you've given me through living it out. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share it and the fact that I'm still here 4 years later. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, my name is Brittany. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from codependency and shame. I grew up knowing God, the gospel, and my need for Christ for salvation, but I never believed a relationship with him could fulfill me. I felt empty, like I was missing something. I learned to fill that hole with friends, being fun, knowing the Bible, and earning my parents' approval, or at least hiding from their disapproval. I manipulated people without realizing what I was doing. In college, my relationship with my parents grew strained and eventually broke. Feeling desperate to avoid the pain, I threw myself into whitewater kayaking and rafting, eventually moving to North Carolina, running away in hopes of filling the void and feeling free. I cast aside my church community and spent my days smoking, drinking, and rafting. I still felt empty and confused, and after a couple months, I started dating a man I knew I shouldn't. The relationship quickly became toxic and codependent. Almost a year into the relationship, after many moral compromises on my part, he dumped me. I felt hopeless, so I bought a plane ticket to Argentina and left. Still craving his attention, I spiraled into a dark depression. Unready to give up and submit to God, I began drinking to numb the pain. I went to clubs every night, and eventually one night I was assaulted. I believed it was my fault, and my depression deepened. I wanted to die and tried occasionally to do so. In this time, the Lord called to me. I knew he was asking me to submit to him, but I didn't. After moving back to the United States, I started working at a bar and would spend my days drinking, smoking, and giving myself to men, hoping to stop thinking of my past. I hated myself. After months of this, I finally gave up and moved back to North Carolina to my ex. We began dating again, and this time the relationship was even more toxic and dangerously abusive. He told me the lies that I've been telling myself for years, and I mistook his abuse as something I deserved. I manipulated myself into believing that God wanted me in that relationship. I was not safe and should have reached out for help. God hates abuse, but I convinced myself that is what he had for me. I was not without sin in the relationship. I told him the most hateful, hurtful things out of self-protection. My guilt and shame about these words didn't lead me into repentance, but farther into the relationship. I felt like I had to earn my forgiveness to gain my freedom. In the fall of 2013, I finally lost another job because of the cycles created by my relationship and was desperate for God's help. I kept asking God to give me the strength to leave because I didn't know how to break free. One day, a friend convinced me to go get a pregnancy test at a local clinic, and the nurse confirmed that I was indeed pregnant and with twins. I cried that day for the first time in a long time. I was broken, yet oddly enough, the miracle of twins made me realize that God wanted good things for me. A few weeks and many fights later, we came to Dallas for Thanksgiving. My parents saw what my relationship looked like. They sent my ex back, and I stayed for what I thought would be a few weeks. I said hateful, horrible things to my parents, tried to manipulate them, and blame them for my life circumstances. But God had prepared them for this move home, and the love that my family showed me those next few weeks made me start to trust God again, piece by piece. My parents began to attend Watermark while I was living in North Carolina, and knowing I needed God, I started attending with them. I was single, pregnant, jobless, and moving back in with my parents. I felt worthless and hopeless. I walked into Regen because I felt like this would be the one place I wouldn't be rejected. I cried almost every Monday night to a room full of strangers. I didn't know how to survive this season, and I honestly didn't want to. I knew I was addicted to the attention of my ex, but the thought of not being with him would send me into a panic attack. A couple weeks into recovery, I tried driving back to North Carolina during a snowstorm in an effort to get his attention. I knew it was crazy, but I couldn't stop myself. When I finally reached Mississippi, the highways were actually closed, so I had to stay the night in a hotel. I knew going back was not what I should be doing, so I prayed, God, if this is not what I should do, give me the strength to turn around tomorrow. The next morning, I woke up and just drove back to Dallas. Through God, I finally had the strength to turn around. I started submitting my wills and my plans to the Lord. It was incredibly hard, but as I got placed into a step group and gained accountability, I realized I didn't have to carry the burden alone anymore. I was put on bed rest during the first steps, forcing me to spend my days reading the Bible and talking to God, because TV also made me cry uncontrollably. Remember, there were two little girls inside me. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." I had heard this my entire life, but now I could see this truth in my life. My daughters were born 6 weeks early on the day inventory started. Praise God for his perfect timing. Writing my inventory in the NICU helped me stay strong when I was presented with opportunities to go back to my old life and relationship. I was looking on paper at what had brought me to that point, and finally sharing with others the level of abuse and toxicity. My mentor and accountability partner sat with me and reminded me of truth over and over. For the first time, I could be honest without fear of being controlled. Being fully known and fully loved was incredible. Being known by these women and my family taught me that being known by God, what being known by God meant. His love released the chains of my past and the sinful habits I felt enslaved to. My life now looks drastically different because I have the most incredible, active, and fierce Savior who has transformed my life, will, and desires. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." I've learned that God's will for me is simply to love him, grow in knowledge of him, and share him with others. It's not a particular job or relationship. It is not revealed through mysterious signs and feelings, but it is simple and pleasant. On my own, I don't know how I would have survived the first couple years of round-the-clock feedings, constant diaper changes, the never-ending crying and reflux. That was the children, not me. But with God, I survived and continue to press on toward what he has for me next. I remember the day I realized I was living what I had thought was my worst nightmare. But because of God, I was actually enjoying life for the first time in years. Do I still struggle some days with what my life looks like? Yes. But I also get to live fiercely alongside a Savior who fights my battles. I no longer base my decisions on what others think of me or how to keep someone calmed down. I get to wake up every day to new hope of what God will do. God took away my need to manipulate others by showing me that what he has planned for me will happen and that his plans are far greater than my own. I was changed to my ideas of what I needed, and now I live in freedom. This year, God has added so much depth to my understanding of his forgiveness and reconciliation as I've gone back through regeneration again as a leader. This group of women have such beautiful stories of transformation that have encouraged me, and their insights have spurred me on to seek Jesus even more. My story gives me the opportunity to share the gospel with random people when they ask awkwardly personal questions about my children at the grocery store. Because God has shown me that he is bigger than my mistakes, I can apologize honestly and regularly with friends and family. Recovery is a lifelong process, and I have to confess that even after attending Regeneration and Shelter, I still have days that I believe the lies that I was happier with my ex or that I was responsible for the abuse. But now I have a community that reminds me of truth. Joel 2:25 says, "I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten." Now I can honestly and joyfully say that God has been the best companion to me. He has provided for me and my children in ways that no earthly man ever would or could. He has given me wisdom and patience with my tiny humans. He has kept me safe when I get scared of being alone at night. He has kept me company when I felt completely alone in this world. I walked into recovery alone, hopeless, and lifeless, but God has filled my life with community that strengthens, encourages, and reminds me that God is strong enough. He is full of hope, and in him I will never be alone. When I think back on what God has taught me the last couple years in recovery, I recall the chorus of a sweet hymn, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Just getting to know Jesus is worth everything I could ever go through. If you're willing to give your heart to God, he is ready to break the chains that hold you back and show you a life of true freedom in him. My name is Brittany. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from codependency and shame. God deserves all the glory for the story he is writing in me and the beautiful stories he's writing in each of you.